Good morning, church.
It's good to see everybody here this morning. Hope you had a nice holiday celebrating Independence Day, founding of our country. Acts chapter 15 this morning. Short passage, verses 36 through 41. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are." Now Barnabas wanted to take with him John, called Mark. But Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there arose such a sharp disagreement so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the church. Father, would you add your blessing to the reading and the proclamation of your word? Would you fill me with your spirit? Would you speak to your people to equip us to live for you in this world and to be the kind of people we need to be in relationship to each other? Would you speak to those who are outside of your grace and draw them in and save them, O God? Would you work and move and do what only you can do today? Father, we ask not just your blessings on us, but we pray for wherever your word is preached, wherever Jesus is exalted. And we ask your blessings on your people as they gather across this world. Would you just move in power in a mighty way among all of your people? It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The most damaging hindrance to the advance of the kingdom of God is when Christians don't love each other. There's no program, no method that will overcome unloving attitudes when God's people don't love each other. Jesus said, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples." And so we must love one another and have loving attitudes toward one another. However, loving one another does not mean that we will never disagree. I love Carla and she loves me, but we don't always agree. You might be surprised at that, or you might not be surprised at that. I remember Ruth Graham said many years ago, "If Billy and I agreed on everything, one of us is unnecessary." And I think that's true. You see, loving each other doesn't mean we always see things from the same perspective. We will disagree from time to time, won't we? We will disagree. But we should never disagree as Christians in an unloving or an unchristian way. We should never disagree in a way that dishonors the Lord. You see, in our world, we demonize those who disagree with us. In the political world, we do that. And even in the church, we label people with broad brushes. They're conservatives or liberals or Republicans or Democrats or Calvinists or Arminians. We do that all the time. But we should not demonize those who disagree with us. You see, being a Christian, being a loving person, means that we will not attack the character or the intellect or the spirituality of persons with which we disagree. Paul and Barnabas had a sharp disagreement, the scripture says, and we read about it in Acts chapter 15. But I believe the way they handled it, they handled it in such a way as to honor the Lord and to speed the spreading of the gospel. And I think from this passage of scripture, we learn that brothers and sisters in Christ who disagree must never unlovingly destroy other people in their disagreements. You see, disagreement's a part of life. Unity does not mean uniformity. You know, it's amazing to me, people look at churches sometimes and they don't realize people disagree about things, but they work through it. You know, the bigger the church, the smaller the group that kind of hashes it out, you know. And the smaller church, you know, we disagree, but you can't disagree unlovingly. You can't disagree in an unchristian manner. And then ultimately you come to some agreement and move on. It's as simple as that. I want to point out some truths from the scripture about handling disagreements among believers. First of all, in the midst of disagreements, remember areas where you do agree. In the midst of disagreements, remember areas where you do agree. Paul and Barnabas were in agreement about some things. They said, let's return to the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are. And so they agreed they needed to go back, they needed to visit these new churches, these new believers, and strengthen them and make sure they were doing okay. I think also that Paul and Barnabas understood that as they went to strengthen the churches they established, they would also be evangelizing and they would also be starting new churches. They agreed on these things. This was the main thing. They agreed on the main thing of carrying out the Great Commission and helping believers become more and more like Jesus. They agreed on that. Now, have you ever had a disagreement with your spouse about some area in your life, and before you know it, you're talking about all kinds of things that don't relate to what you began with? Maybe that doesn't happen to you, but probably it does. You see, sometimes when we disagree with each other, our brothers and sisters, our husband, our wife, even our children, in the emotion of the conflict, we blow things out of proportion and we think we don't have anything in common. We focus on the conflicted area and forget that in 99% of the other areas we agree. And I think that's true especially among believers. We get so focused sometimes on fine points of doctrine or methods that we forget all the areas that we have agreement in. You know, I believe if you think Scripture teaches you something, you hold on to it until someone from the Scripture convinces you that the Scripture doesn't teach that. But I also believe that we can so split hairs on certain things that we're going to be fighting all the time if we don't watch it. You know, I tell people I don't always agree with myself. A friend of mine in Wilmer, Minnesota, one of the pastors that I worked with, he told me about a small town near him that had a First Unity Reformed Church, a Second Unity Reformed Church, and a Third Unity Reformed Church. Think they might have split some hairs there? You see, when we disagree, never forget the areas of agreement. Whether that's with your spouse or with your children or in your church or even politically. You know, it's the 4th of July and all of that stuff. You know, our politics have become so uncivil and we demonize those who disagree with us. We got to be careful about that. It's not right. It's not right when someone disagrees with me and I think they're of the devil, you know, like I'm always right. We can't do that. The Lord doesn't want us to do that. When you disagree, never forget the area. Never forget the areas where you agree. Those areas of disagreements can be minor, but they can lead to strained relationships if we don't forget how much we have in common. You see, when you raise your kids, your husband and wife, sometimes you realize it's us against them, right? Maybe you didn't have that either, but you see, you got to remember what you have in common. Secondly, in the midst of disagreements, remember the realm of the disagreements. Now, on the first missionary journey, John Mark has started with Paul and Barnabas as their helper, but he deserted them when they got to Pamphylia. And so now, as they were starting a second tour, a second missionary journey. Barnabas wanted to take John Mark with him. Paul, however, saw John Mark as undependable, as a quitter, and he did not think they should take him. Now, they weren't agreeing about foundational things. They were disagreeing about methods. Programs, so to speak. They weren't disagreeing about the gospel, taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. They were disagreeing about something that was of less importance than carrying out the Great Commission. They were disagreeing on methods. It was a different realm. You see, sometimes, you know, there are things that are super important and there are things that are non-essential. There are things that we should hold on to tightly, and there are things that we should hold on to loosely. This was one of those things. This realm was not essential. It didn't mean they were not brothers in Christ. It meant they disagreed on how to go about the work. And the disagreement was passionate. It was a passionate disagreement over methods and methodologies and strategies. Now, you can passionately disagree with someone on methods and methodologies and strategies, but never forget that they are methods and methodologies and strategies. Back where I come from, they say there's more than one way to skin a cat. That's probably not too politically correct these days, but anyway. You see, we disagree sometimes. Look at Paul. Paul was a task-oriented person. And Barnabas, I think, was a people-oriented person. You know, I think that's how we could characterize them. You see, both are needed in the kingdom of God. Sometimes we are so task-oriented that we run over and injure people and don't bring them along on the mission. We do that sometimes. You know, there is a certain CEO model of church these days that I don't like, just to be real truthful and honest with you. And I think sometimes there are some people in leadership that just think, we got to do this task, and it doesn't matter if people get left on the sidelines. But you know, the task of the church is people. Aren't we about people? Reaching people, loving people, helping people? When we get to the point where we do church like a CEO run a company and only look at the bottom line, we're missing the point, because God's mission is people. I think Paul was a task-oriented person. I think Barnabas was a people-oriented person. And you can go too far that way also. Sometimes we're so people-oriented that we let one person derail us from carrying out the task that God has called us to carry out. In some churches, the desire for unity and no disagreements leads them to let one stubborn or immature person stifle the work. Have you ever been a part of that? You know, I don't like conflict. I don't like confrontation. I don't do it very well. But there are times you got to say, brother or sister, you're wrong about this. Everyone else is on board. We can't let you stop us from doing what God has called us to do. You know, churches allow things that we shouldn't allow. You know, have you ever seen someone get up and stomp out in the middle of a strategy session because things weren't going their way and they acted like a six-year-old? That's why people don't like being church business meetings. That's why people don't like to be in strategy sessions. They just want to come. We need everyone to be involved in helping us develop the strategies and carrying out the task. But we can't let one person's immaturity, one person's stubbornness, keep us from doing what we believe God calls us to do. Now, I'm not talking about a 55-54 vote in a church. I'm not talking about a one-person majority that a group just rolls over all the other people. I don't believe in that. I believe basically God will bring his church to unity. I believe most of the things that we'll do, most of us
a great majority of the people will be on board with that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about one or two people stopping us from doing what God has called us to do. Immature people. You know, if you get up and you throw some kind of fit in church because you don't like what's going on, that's immaturity, and that calls for repentance. And it calls for confrontation sometimes. I need to be confronted when I'm wrong. Sometimes all of us do. We can't let one or two people hinder us. We can't let one or two from doing what we believe God wants us to do. You see, you can go too far as being a people-oriented person. And you can go too far being a task-oriented person. And so I think that's what we saw here. Barnabas was convinced that he needed to take John Mark along with them. Yeah, he had messed up, he had blown it, but what do we see Barnabas doing in the Scripture? He's usually taking somebody that's kind of on the edge and bringing them into the stream of the will of God. And Barnabas felt like, I can't compromise on that. And Paul felt like, this guy is a hindrance. If we take him, he's going to mess us up again. And he felt passionately about it. They passionately disagreed. But let me tell you, what you don't do when you passionately disagree, you don't become unchristian and a jerk when that happens. You just don't do it. There's two things you can do when you passionately disagree. One thing that can happen is when there's disagreement, when you think the church needs to go another direction and the question is not over foundational or essential doctrine. You simply go with what the group thinks, what the brother thinks needs to be done. You simply compromise and say, okay, if that's the way you see it, I'm going to go with you on that. We think compromise is a bad word. Compromise is not necessarily a bad word. There's nothing wrong with compromise. Sometimes it's not essential, so we just say, okay, I could be wrong. You know, when you work with people, there is disagreement, and sometimes there'll be one person that just feels passionately that this is just not the direction. But everybody else, and what do they do? What does a Christian do? Sometimes they say, okay, I don't see it this way, but if this is the way you think God is leading us, I'm going with you, and I'm not going to be a problem about it. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. Compromise is not always wrong. That's one thing you can do. Secondly, if the thing you believe is so important that you cannot compromise, even though it's not doctrinal, even though it's not foundational, it's not foundational doctrinally. It might be a little bit doctrinally, but it's not over whether Jesus saves or not. You got me? And this methodology, this strategy you think is so important that you can't compromise on it, even though it is a strategy, even though it is a methodology. Here's what you do. Here's what Paul and Barnabas did. In the midst of irreconcilable disagreements, each believer agrees to separate and go a separate direction. The disagreement was such that both men felt they could not compromise. They felt they could not compromise. Paul felt the task was so important that he couldn't take John Mark again. Barnabas felt John Mark was so important that he couldn't start a new mission without including him. And because these two able and passionate leaders disagreed, what did they do? They separated. Barnabas took John Mark and he went to Cyprus. Paul chose Silas and left Antioch, commended by the brethren, the Scripture says. And he went and he started a lot of new churches in Philippi and other places. That's what they did. That's what they did. They separated. Now, I'm not talking about being married. I'm talking about churches here. You know.
sometimes people are so passionate that they just can't see the other person's perspective, and it's time not to keep fighting about it. That does not glorify God. The time is just to go different directions. I want you to notice, first of all, though, some things about how they separated. They were not unloving in the way they disagreed. They did not call each other names. They did not slander each other by questioning the other person's motives or integrity or Christian commitment. You see, when you start attacking the person's intellect or character or spirituality, that is the wrong way to disagree. It is not right. It is not right. I've seen in churches falsely spiritual people in disagreements, and you're talking, you know, this was kind of my life for about 11 or 12 years, you know, because, and I know a little bit about this stuff. I was in a few mediative relationships with churches. And so anyway, I've seen people be falsely spiritual about how they disagreed. One group accuses the other group of not listening to the Holy Spirit. We're hearing the Holy Spirit, and you're not. Paul didn't say that about Barnabas, and Barnabas didn't say that about Paul. They didn't do it. Sometimes it's even worse, you're listening to the devil. You know, none of us perfectly listens to the Holy Spirit. We don't always get it right. And just because someone doesn't agree with me or you does not mean that they're not listening to the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to attack the spirituality of a brother or sister in Christ if they disagree with me about methods or strategies or even some minor doctrinal thing. You know, even about doctrine, the Bible says we see through a glass darkly. My doctrine's not perfect, and neither is yours. If you think it is, you're wrong. My doctrine's not perfect. I wish I could see everything the way God wants me to see it. It's just not perfect. I'm a human being, and I see through a glass darkly, and so do you. You see, it's wrong to attack the character or the spirituality or the intellect of a brother and sister in Christ. It's never right to assume a spiritually superior attitude toward those we disagree. It's wrong to say they're not listening to the Holy Spirit, they're sinning. I mean, if they're committing adultery, I guess you could say they're sinning, but we're not talking about that. You know, the truth about it is, most of the matters I've seen churches disagree on, they're not over doctrine. They're not over sinful, calling black white and white black, or, you know, calling sin good and good. They're not over anything. They're mostly about methods. That's what they're about. You see, we got to be careful. Even if we disagree with our brothers, we got to remember that they're still our brothers and sisters, right? Don't ever forget them. Were either Paul or Barnabas right and the other wrong in this? You know, look at the rest of the book of Acts. Paul went on to take the gospel over much of the known world. And he was led by the Holy Spirit. He penned over half the New Testament. Barnabas, however, took John Mark under his wings, and he helped John Mark become the man of God that he needed to be. And the scripture tells us John worked with the apostle Peter, and he also later on even worked again with the apostle Paul. And you know what else? Probably under the influence of Peter, he penned what most scholars believe was the first gospel, the Gospel of Mark. Most scholars believe that Mark wrote his gospel before any of the other gospels. You think either one of them was wrong in this? What if Barnabas had said, I'm just, okay, forget it. We'll just leave Mark behind. You ever thought about that? I mean, Mark wrote the first, and then other people said, that's a good idea. I think that we ought to do that too.
What if Paul had not gone to Thessalonica and to Philippi? Now, I don't want to say that... I think God brings good out of this. I don't want to... You know, how do I put this? I don't want us to think that this is the normal thing. You know, it should not be normal. It should not be normal for Christians to have these kind of severe disagreements. And most of the time, when I have a severe disagreement with my wife or with you or anybody else, most of the time you know what the problem is? The problem's Bob Ray. It's just the truth. The problem is Bob Ray. Don't be the problem. Unity is so important in the body of Christ. And you can be unified and even when you disagree. I really believe that. I disagree with a lot of my brothers about some of their methodologies. But I have determined as a Christian not to make another brother who confesses Jesus as Lord an enemy, even if we disagree. They disagreed, but they really agreed. And God used them both. They both believed that what they needed to do, they couldn't compromise on, but they didn't call each other names. They didn't attack the spirituality. They carried out what they believed God wanted them to do, and God worked through both of them to expand and extend His kingdom to the ends of the earth. Believer can and do disagree. Will we handle our disagreements with love, humility, and integrity and honor? Will we remember essential areas where we do agree? Never forget our foundation of Jesus. We remember that often when we disagree, it's really over questions of strategies and methods. And will we always refuse to question the motives or integrity or spirituality of those brothers and sisters whom we disagree? It always amazes me how we question people's motives. You know that? I've asked myself most times, are my motives pure? Most of the time, they're mixed. Even preaching on Sunday morning, sometimes I just do it because I know I'm supposed to do it. I like doing it, though. I'll be honest. But sometimes, you know, sometimes it's not because I love God and I love you. Sometimes it's because I got to do it. Maybe you don't want me to be that honest, but, you know. Most of the time, it's because I love you and I love God and I want to do it. But even then... You know, there could be a little mix there, right? Don't question other people's. Sometimes I'm not even sure about my own motives. Or how can I question your motives? Or any other believer's motives? You see, we can disagree, but we must not unlovingly destroy each other in the midst of those disagreements. And we must always act loving, and we must always believe the best of our brothers. Believe the best of our brothers when we disagree. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love you. And we thank you, Lord, that we can even see in Scripture places where your servants who loved you with everything they were, Lord, they didn't see eye to eye. Lord, help us to not be surprised when that happens in our lives, but help us to always act in humility and love and integrity. Help us to always believe the best of our brothers and sisters when we might even disagree with them. And God, let the world know that we belong to you because we love one another, and we love one another when we agree, and we love one another even when we disagree. May it be so in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.